This is Liberation. A Captain America movie-verse, X-Men First Class crossover fic. Written by Katri and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G. Contains Eric Lyncher, Charles Xavier, pre-slash. And was written for Gadgetorious, off the prompt. Suppose Captain America had been the one to liberate Eric from the camps. Charles wakes first, his arm already reaching out to wake Eric.
We need to go, now.
The Hydra facility is silent around them, and Charles is glad for his ability to communicate wordlessly. For better and for worse, his abilities have grown since his captivity, as well as his control over them.
What's happening, Charles?
Eric's mind is sharp as a blade, body tense. They've been well treated here. Well, as much as two prisoners can be, one wearing a yellow star and the other a pink triangle. And Eric's thoughts are an anxious blur of foreboding. The man has told him a little of what happened to him under Klaus Schmidt's initial tutelage. The horrors he has experienced make Zola's experiments on Charles look almost quaint in comparison.
I'm not sure.
Charles closes his eyes, fingers pressed to his temple as he tries to sift through the minds of the men throughout the factory. The Hydra personnel seem indifferent, but the majority of the people here are still prisoners, and their minds are a riot of emotion.
Hope, astonishment, confusion, fear, grief.
He pushes further, sees the image of a man in a blue cowl, with a white A emblazoned on it. The building shakes around them, rocked by explosions somewhere outside.
We need to get out of here, now!
Charles opens his eyes. The little flame of hope he has nursed so carefully for so long is now a forest fire in his breast.
Eric?
His friend grips his shoulder tightly, wordlessly, and Charles takes his hand, impressing all his faith, trust, love in Eric, with a force that's almost physical. Eric gives him a twitch of the lips that might almost be a smile, and the doors of their cell are ripped off their hinges with the force of a hurricane. Hurry, Eric says, and they scramble through the halls, now deserted of guards, and wind their way outside. The night is lit up with flashes of gunfire and brilliant blue rays from Hydra's weapons, many of which are now in the hands of the Allied prisoners. Charles had known they were there, in the lower levels of the facility, but had never seen them before this moment. He and Eric had been kept closer to the medical labs, like the rats Johann Schmidt thought them to be. Only the clothes on their backs to keep them warm in the chill of the early Italian spring. Enough food to keep them healthy enough to provide blood samples.
Wait!
He starts to tug at the patches on their coats, throwing them to the ground.
They can't know.
It doesn't matter, Charles tries to tell him, but they are knocked to their feet by the force of another blast.
Come on!
Eric pulls him to his feet, holding onto his hand and pulling him along until they reach a truck filling rapidly with other escaping prisoners.
Hide us!
Charles does as his friend asks. The men around them may only see them as other prisoners, but that can't last. And if they are retaken, their invisibility might keep them alive a little bit longer. He has learned, bitterly, that the necessity of survival trumps more of his moral imperatives than he would have ever thought. It had been a brutal lesson he had absorbed first when he was captured in Guernsey, and had continued throughout his imprisonment these 2 years. If not for Eric, he sometimes wonders if he might have been strong enough to survive alone. But something in him saw both a kindred spirit as well as that inner gift of power. Without Eric, He thinks he would be but half a man, and so he concentrates intently. The other prisoners see them, but don't see them. No one tries to sit on their patch of bench in the back. No one acknowledges their presence in the quiet chatter of travel. The truck stops mid-morning. Charles half stands as he focuses his power. And he is tired. So tired. But he will do this. Determined that no one see. And when the blue-cowled man hops into the back of the truck and looks right at them and says, "Gentlemen," with such astonishing cheerfulness, Charles thinks his heart stops.
"Cap?"
says one of the men in confusion. And Eric presses his back against the wall of the truck like a cornered animal, ready to fight wildly before being taken back. With a burst of panicked energy, Charles peers into the mind of Steve Rogers, who does see Charles and Eric, never mind how. And so with a final effort of will, Charles rearranges the memories of every other man present. Of course Eric and Charles are there. They had always been there. Eric the quiet one, Charles the amiable one. Nothing to wonder at all. "Is everything all right?" Charles asks, as calmly as he can under the circumstances, trying to repress the urge to pant with exertion. Eric is looking at Charles with something like horror, and Charles makes himself gaze into the friendly face of Steve Rogers. "I'm checking in on everyone," Rogers says. He is, like everyone but Eric, oblivious to the work of the telepath. He nods at Charles first, and then all the other men. "We've got a man working as navigator at the front of our convoy. He thinks we're a little over 2 days out from the Allied camps." There's a palpable feeling of wary joy among the men gathered. "We've only got a few vehicles, though, and as near as I can tell, there's almost 400 of us altogether. I'm ordering every able-bodied man to take a turn walking a few miles each day. We're not out of the woods yet, but we will be soon. I'm going to get you guys there." "Who are you?" Eric's voice is a strangled, rough thing. Charles would envy the admiration in it if his hand wasn't tight on Charles' knee. Rogers gives them a self-deprecating grin. "I'm Captain America." And he gives them all an earnest salute and jumps off the truck. Later, Charles will wonder if that wasn't the moment that didn't change Eric for the better. The moment they were saved by a man whose limited powers emerged from human ingenuity rather than genetics. In the last days of the war, they find themselves as part of a group of men attached to the SSD. And if the Howling Commandos get to take the better part of glory with Captain Rogers, well, the efforts of a telepath and a master of magnetism have their uses, too, in locating certain strategic Hydra bases hidden underground, in mountains, in heavily camouflaged bases. But that is another story for another time. The end.